Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of Multifamily Matters. Today we're going to air the best of Multifamily Matters. It's a very educational and informative episode, so listen and enjoy the best of Multifamily Matters.
Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is the first 90 days. I have joining me by phone two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Suzanne Hobson, founder and principal of Here to Elevate, and Jessica Eberbach, Assistant Vice President of Hospitality with City Club Apartments. Welcome, ladies.
Hi, Paul.
Well, it's great to have you back on the show. And you guys always have such interesting and topics that are really kind of cutting edge, what's going on in the industry right now. And you know, just to kind of set the stage, and this is a constant theme that we have in episodes over the last couple of years, is there's been such a turnover in multifamily where people are leaving the industry altogether or where they're moving from place to place. And the kind of havoc that it causes when trying to operate multifamily properties. And this topic that you guys want to discuss today really talks about if a person is transitioning in the multifamily industry, whether it's a new role at an existing company, a promotion, or whether it is a going to a new company, that the first 90 days are crucial. Suzanne, what does all that mean?
Yeah, and you know, this is something that Jessica and I have talked about on many occasions, just because we've seen throughout, you know, the years how incredibly important that first 90 days is in the life of your employee, right? And truly, they're either going to, or, you know, if you look at it, you can really designate whether they're going to be successful or not by how those first 90 days transition. And so, as you said, Paul, we're experiencing a lot of transition right now in multifamily. You're seeing it all over the place on LinkedIn and other channels. And it's really a critical time for leaders, managers, really anyone when entering a new position, such as a promotion or even, you know, like you said, joining a new company, the stakes are high. So those first 90 days, that's when you're going to make that lasting impression impact. And going in with some intention and some planning, hands down, is really, you know, highly recommended. And that way, you know, at the end of it, you're looking at the situation and saying, wow, you know, this is a great risk for me to have taken, and your employer is going to say the same thing.
Yeah, and Jessica, tell us a little bit about the transition itself.
Yeah, it's the critical time to make your mark, right? So like Suzanne mentioned, we're seeing it all over right now with everyone making these transitions. Personally, I've even made a transition in the last couple months where I've started with a new company and in a new role. And I've had a lot of conversations just in the last 30 days with a lot of multifamily industry veterans who are doing the same thing, and they're in the market. You know, we know the facts are, there is a study out there by Shroom right now that 50.5 million people quit in 2022. And 61% are considering to leave their job in 2023. So, you know, success or failure in any role is usually traced back to that first 90 days of employment and the decisions, whether they're good or bad, that were made during the time.
What about onboarding? How does that play a role?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm actually going through it, like I mentioned, myself. So I'm 30 days into my new company, so I am really, I'm in the thick of the first 90 days. Mm-hmm. So it's the business orientation is the first thing, you know, really learning about the company. And probably a lot of us did a lot of research before we came into the company, you know, LinkedIn, Glassdoor, read the reviews, probably researched who's working at the company, and really looked at it as a whole. And then the second piece is the stakeholder connection, you know, identifying who the stakeholders are as soon as possible and building relationships with them. You know, I'll say with the stakeholder connection, this is crucial. I'm going through it. So really developing a rapport with those that I report to, those that I'm peers with, and then those that are reporting up to me. It's a huge piece in building the trust factor and what I'm capable of. The third thing is expectations alignment. There's a lot of discussion in that interview process, what the expectations are for, you know, both myself and then back to the company and what the expectations are to them on my end. But as we all know, the interview is kind of like dating someone, right? You're romancing them. And then once you start your journey on employment, right, day one, you're now in the marriage stage. Are you in the honeymoon stage or are you in the thick of it? And so, you know, going back and really evaluating what those expectations are and making sure that those are clear on a week-to-week basis. And again, both on your end and to your employer's end. And the final part of it is the culture adaption. It's a hard thing being the new kid on the block. You know, you come with your experience and your ideas and, you know, everything you've known up until this point, right, starting with a new company and what you think is the way to do things. But as anyone knows who's probably started a new job, it's a new set of patterns with communication and thinking, even the shared values of the organization. So really layering those things together, it's a whole new world, as Ariel will put it from Little Mermaid. So.
You know, Suzanne, the first 90 days, I think a lot of that is covered in a book by Michael Watkins. And I know there was an analogy that you made me aware of when we were talking about, when Jessica was just talking about the stakeholder connection, that you don't want to be meeting your neighbors for the first time in the middle of, of the night when your house is burning down, meaning that when you when you go to work at a new place, you need to, I'm assuming the point is that you need to reach out, be proactive and begin relationships with people, except trying to do it when there's a crisis, where you've never had a chance to develop those relationships. Is that what your thoughts are?
Oh, totally. And, you know, the first 90 days is actually like a manual for this, right? Mm-hmm. So Jessica and I have both revisited this book over our careers on several occasions. You know how books are. They speak to you differently at different times in your experience. And there's it's just chock full of good stuff. So, yeah, highly encourage people to pick this up if you are in transition. I also think there are some transition traps, right, that you can fall into sort of in alignment with what Jessica was saying. And these are things we've all done, right? And if you can, you know, thoughtfully go into that first 90 days thinking about perhaps not doing some of these things intentionally, you can save yourself a lot of heartache, like only sticking with what you know. It's easy to do. It's all those tools in our toolbox that we're really comfortable with. But on the flip side of that, if you're only sticking to what you know, you're not going to be open to how your current role or your team or company is operating. And that's a myth because there could be important information if, you know, you were focused on doing what you've always done that you would miss. So really, really important to not fall into those transition traps. There's another one, feeling like you need to take immediate action. In fact, we tell people, you know, go for the low-hanging fruit, get a win, do it quickly. So we actually train people to do this. And what happens when we have that urge to really prove ourselves and make that big first impact, you know, we're not learning, we're doing. And if we're not learning, again, we're not investing that time in the foundation. of this new adventure that you're on. So that action and the actions that you take are going to displace something else. And learning is so invaluable during, you know, the first 30, 60, 90 days.
Yeah, we've got
another one.
Go ahead. I was going to say, we got about a minute left.
Okay. Yeah, setting unrealistic expectations. You know, Jessica spoke to this before, and I'm experiencing this as well. You know, I'm not necessarily working for an employer in an employee-employer relationship, but I really am. Every time I go in and I'm talking to a potential client, I have to set those expectations up front to make sure that we're all on the same page and we're in alignment. And so making sure that those expectations are realistic for all parties involved, it's critical.
All right. We are going to be back right after these messages with the next segment of the show. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Say goodbye to pen and paper processes, labor shortages, and unhappy residents, and say hello to HappyCo, the only multifamily platform that supports every stage of your property lifecycle. Improve your portfolio with Happy Asset, the ROI-driving asset optimization solution for owners, acquisition directors, and asset managers. Manage your portfolio with Happy Property, a suite of intuitive tools that streamline operations, empower teams, and delight residents. Service your portfolio with Happy Force, an always-on remote maintenance workforce for multifamily specialists designed to increase resident satisfaction. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. For more information, visit the website at happy.co.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
We're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing something that is especially important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is the first 90 days. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Suzanne Hobson, founder and principal of Here to Elevate, and Jessica Eberbach, assistant vice president of hospitality with City Club Apartments. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, you know, we talked about the transitions in the first segment of this episode, and now we're going to talk a little bit about transition traps. And you mentioned a few of them at the end of the previous episode, Suzanne, but let's go over those again. And I know, Jessica, you wanted to discuss those as well.
Yeah, I think the last two, one of which was feeling like you need to take immediate action, as well as setting unrealistic expectations. This is, you know, frequently where we are in that trap, where we feel like we have to prove ourselves and make that big first impact. So, Jess, do you want to share your story?
Yeah, I'd love to. I think these are huge right now, at least with what I'm going through. And I've seen this historically when I've been at other organizations as well with new people coming in. You know, I mentioned it in the first episode, where people have their experiences or what they've known, right, and what they've done before. This is how my last company did it, right? I feel like we've heard that saying before mm-hmm. with people coming in. And it's true, right? We get comfortable in how to do things when it's our everyday, especially from previous companies we come from. So feeling like you need to take immediate action, it's really hard to sit still and sit on my hands and not try to make a bunch of change. You know, especially this is on the forefront of my mind right now and what I'm going through. And it's because of this book. The book is helping me slow down and really learn and take everything in and speak to everybody and find out what's working and what's not working. You know, before I even came in, I have a list of things that I want to quote unquote fix, right? It's things that I just see as low hanging fruit that, well, why aren't we doing it this way, right? This is the way that we're supposed to be doing it. Mm-hmm. Well, who's to say that's the way we're supposed to be doing it? That's just the way I feel because that's the way that I've done it at other organizations. You know, I'll make a great example. One of the things I'm seeing right now that I'm going through is the property management software that we're currently using. You know, I'm used to using like Entrata and Yardi and RealPage. This company, we're not using those. And so it's a little bit trickier in how the operations are currently being handled, where a lot of the on-site operations, we're still using paper for a lot of things. Well, we know in this industry, we've probably been paperless at a lot of our organizations for the last 10 to 15 years. So to me, it's a low-hanging fruit. Well, let's come in and just change that. That would be extremely hard for our on-site teams, right, that have been doing it this way for as long as they've known, as they've been with this company. And the last thing I'm trying to do when I come into this company is create any type of turnover because I'm creating all this additional stress and changing things. Now, don't get me wrong. It'll be part of the process and a slow rollout, but there's things like that, right, that I have a list on all these things I want to change, but I don't want to come in and make these immediate action changes and creating a huge impact on our people. The very first things that I'm really focusing on is developing those relationships, which is, you know, the people on the site, the regional managers, the peers that I'm working with every day, just so that way, you know, when I need to phone a friend, they've got this relationship built and I'm not coming in and just the way that I like to look at it or call it is the Miley Cyrus wrecking ball, right? I'm not coming in like a wrecking ball and dropping this bomb within my first 90 days. I'm really taking it slow and steady and making strategic changes.
Well, and you're also developing these relationships with the people. So when it does come time to change or make changes, you've got that some trust built up with them that they know who you are. They know they've had a chance to meet you, to talk with you, to work with you. And is that impactful and important?
Absolutely, Paul. It's the number one thing that's important is building this trust. And, you know, we all know building trust comes with fostering these relationships. It's really easy to come into a company and say, well, this is what I've done. This is who I was, right, at my past companies. But those are only words. They don't mean anything to the new people that you're encountering. They want to see that you're able to roll up your sleeves and you're able to do the work with them and really help lead with impact and not just speak with impact, right? So, you know, coming in and working side by side with the teams and really showing that I care is my first thing. And second thing is I really want to understand. I want to understand what a day in the life means to work at the property or, you know, what a day in the life in a certain role means if it's a regional, just so that way when the time comes to making suggestions for change, like I mentioned, it's strategic, but I'm also utilizing their feedback, right? So in these times that I'm developing the relationship, as I mentioned, I'm asking the questions on what's working and what's not working. And those simple questions are giving me a plethora of information to, you know, put together and present on where we want to drive our ship as an organization.
We've got about 4.5 minutes left in this segment. Suzanne, what are some of the other transition traps that that you think are important for folks to understand?
Sure. And I think Jessica just, you know, leads us right into the next one, which is attempting to do too much. Any guilty parties here of doing that? I know that it's easier if you break it down into parts and pieces. And focusing on one impactful move, gathering momentum with the team versus that scattered, diluted direction where nothing gets accomplished fully. That's very much what Jessica was speaking to. And I think that, you know, when we think about that, it's intentional. And you're taking the time to bring the team with you, which is, you know, that's the battle. You can't go into battle without your team. And building that trust and that relationship quickly, you know, you can't do that if you're attempting to do so many things that you can't get one thing across the finish line with the team. It's really about the team win, not your win.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that the other thing is coming in with the answer. You know, that guy. If you want to think about what not to do, think about some of the people that have come into your organization and you're like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? But the guy who knows everything, or the gal, yes, exactly. And you're just like, oh man, you don't know anything because you haven't been here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, you got to build that relationship, that respect. You can't demand it, especially in today's environment. It just doesn't work. Don't alienate your people. Those are the people that are going to help you to understand what's going on.
And
I think, you know, Jess, you mentioned the other two items, you know, in what you were talking about and really engaging in the wrong type of learning. This is another transition trap. You spend all your time on the procedures manual. And we've all worked in organizations where they had you come in and they had you read the procedures manual. And you're like, what does this have to do with what I'm going to be working on? Maybe that's not what we call for. So getting on the same page about expectations and what the real goal is in those first 30, 60, 90 days will help you to be focused and learning on the right things. And then, you know, again, we've been talking about this all morning, and that's neglecting those peer relationships. So lots of time we're spending on our relationship with our boss and maybe our subordinates, right? But we're not really working on those relationships with our peers in the organization. And I think, you know, Jessica, you said, you know, phone a friend. These are your friends. And you want to make sure, you know, that you're developing those relationships as well.
Well, you're absolutely right, Suzanne. You know, to speak on that, neglecting your peer relationships, this has been a huge advocate for me in regards to fostering those peer relationships. You know, as I'm going to the properties and working with our people, I can't tell you how many times I'm going directly to our, you know, head of IT, right? Which normally would go through a support communication channel. But right now I'm going directly to the peer, the person, because we've got maybe a lot of roadblocks happening and I just need to get these solved for our people because I don't know where it's at in the support chain of communication. And, you know, trying to work on that relationship with the IT, it's been super helpful where we're just getting things across the finish line that maybe have been stuck for a while. So this has been a huge, huge help in navigating here.
We're going to break it here for this segment. We're going to be back with our next one where we're going to be talking a little bit about having a plan and preparation. So we'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. The topic of today is the first 90 days. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Suzanne Hobson, founder and principal of Here to Elevate, and Jessica Eberbach, assistant vice president of hospitality with City Club Apartments. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. And Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. So, we talked in the last segment about the transition traps, and then I mentioned when this segment we're going to talk about having a plan and preparation. So Jessica, talk a little bit about that.
Sure, Paul, I'd love to. You know, I look at it with my previous positions, right, in people and culture. When you onboard a new team member, you try to create onboarding plans for them for their first week, their first 2 weeks, and even hopefully their first 30 days, 60 days, and 90 days. And, you know, with creating these plans, we also should be doing this if we're going through transitions ourselves. So this is something that I've done in my current situation where I've really outlined a template on what my 30 days, what my accomplishments will be and what I'm focusing on, what I'm going to be doing within 60 days and 90 days. And then from there, I built out, you know, my 6 months to my 1 year. And really outfitting it really helped me have a clear understanding of what the focus is, but then also my employer. The way that I like to look at it is really aligning the organization. It's preparing for a long sailing trip, right? So first you need to be clear on what the destination is or where you're going, which is the mission and the goal. Am I clear on that when I'm, you know, talking to leadership? And then the route. What's my strategy? So again, the strategy is that 30, 60, 90 days that I just talked about. Are they the right ones? Am I focused on the right stuff? Then you can figure out which boat you need, which is the structure. And then from there, how to outfit it, which are your processes. I think sometimes we all just kind of jump in. I know Suzanne mentioned it on the last section on focusing on the policy and procedures right away. That's not the first thing we're focused on, right? Then we go into the mix of crew members to help, you know, move the ship, which are the skill bases. So throughout this journey, right, as we're onboarding, we're constantly keeping an eye out for the reefs and the storms. We kind of all go through storms, right, at our companies, and how to navigate it. And so that's going to change our 30, 60, 90 days. But it's understanding what those paths look like.
Yeah.
Once you obviously have all this created, then you can go into and really build into your plan, you know, the learning pathway. You know, your learning agenda consists of three types of focuses. You should really lean into the past, right? How did the organization perform in the past? This helps you understand
you know, before you come in and make changes or suggest any changes, what were the successes or the failures? And then what changes were made and who was in charge of that? I think understanding who was in charge is important. So then that way, again, you can develop the relationships with the people that are going to be helpful and impactful in navigating that change. The second type of learning is questions about the present. As I mentioned, the company's vision, who's got influence, who's trustworthy, learning the nuances of, I call it the politics of the company, and what are the key processes in the company. I also talk about those processes because, again, Suzanne mentioned, those people will jump in and start studying them right away, but do the processes even make sense? I can look at our policy and procedure manual. So is that what's currently happening on site at the properties? Is that how we're currently operating? And then the third type of learning is, questions about the future. What are the challenges and opportunities, and what are those changes needed as we move forward? So really coming up with that strategic plan, especially when it comes to learning, will help navigate that path for you.
And I want to ask you a question because you shared with our audience that you're personally are 30 days into a new opportunity that you are currently working in. And so you said you have 30, 60, and 90-day plan. How did the first 30 days actually go according to your plan that you had prepared?
I am prepared. Good question. I actually just opened it up as I figured you were going this way. So the first 30 days, what I laid out was really assessing the culture, the norms, the politics is a word I like to use, the team and the organization. I'm still in that. I definitely have 30 days in, and I have, a good understanding, but I'm still learning every day when I'm observing, whether it's in meetings or, my one-on-ones with different team members or, really going to the site. I hear a lot and I see a lot there. I'm still learning myself, meaning going through all of the company's different learning classes. So, my goal is to accomplish all those within the first 30 days, and I'm doing that. I also want to get to all the sites and create SWOTs for all the sites, so strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And that's in motion. I'm about halfway done. My goal is to really get those accomplished within the first 60 to 90 days. Creating assessments for my direct reports, the ones that I'm working with on a frequent basis. Another one is a day in the life. So I talked about assessments with my direct reports, but really understanding the seats that they sit in and the capacity they have or maybe they don't have and what it means to be a regional manager here at this company. And then learning the assets, right? What each specific asset's occupancy is and financial situation and staffing. That's my first 30 days. And all of it's in motion. I wouldn't say anything's fully completed because it's going to be an ongoing process through my 60 to 90 days. And then 60 days evolves even further. And then so does 90 days. But by 60 days, the goal is to begin creating a vision and change management plans. And I'm not coming in and I'm not changing everything right away, but I should hopefully have by 90 days a really good, clear understanding of where we're currently at as a company and where, as a priority, we can focus on some change management opportunity.
We've got about 2.5 minutes left in this segment. Suzanne, the preparation and preparing this plan, for the 30, 60, and 90 days, as Jessica has mentioned, obviously things change. So it must be kind of a fluid thing that as you're getting used to the new role in the new company, you have to change that plan as you go to say, okay, now I need to add this to my 60-day or my 90-day goals. What have you seen?
Yeah, very, very true. I think, while you can have a really well thought out plan and strategy, things happen. And as you're gaining more and more information, your direction may change, and it may change drastically. So continuously revisiting the plan and also getting feedback from your peer group and your boss, making sure you're on the same page in regular intervals, will just make sure that you're heading in the right direction. But you have to be fluid, and you have to continuously take in new information so that you can pivot accordingly.
We've got about a minute left in the segment, Jessica. Talk a little bit about alignment, making sure that you've got an alignment in those first 90 days.
Yeah. So a huge part of alignment is, identifying the root causes of poor performance. I think it's easy to say it's people or other things, but I think there's a lot more to understand, peeling back the layers of the onion, right? What's the strategy, the structure, the system, the skills and the culture, all that will play an impact. I will say we, as a company, we're constantly going through a weekly analysis of what's happening at the properties and their performance. And there's a lot of nuances with each different asset, especially if they're in different markets. So really going through even the properties as a SWOT analysis and understanding what's happening really helps create that alignment in moving forward versus just saying, well, it's a people issue. Well, it may not be that, right? It could be, just a slow time in that market. Maybe it's a seasonal thing because it's a student or a university market, and so they may not get heavy traffic in September, right, to mm-hmm. get those sales. So really understanding all the impact before we make any type of decision will help create those alignments.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We are going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book Rev's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let Rev drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let Rev be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today.
Well, We are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And I'm discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry, and its topic is the first 90 days. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Suzanne Hobson, founder and principal of Here to Elevate, and Jessica Eberbach, assistant vice president of hospitality with City Club Apartments. I do want to take a moment and thank some more of our sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible: Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management, DirecTV. The ultimate entertainment experience is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, ladies, in the last segment, we talked about preparation, having a plan for the first 90 days. And in this last segment, I know we want to discuss matching strategy to actual situations. So, Suzanne, what is that?
Yeah, this is very exciting to me in using this model, and I'll get into the specifics regarding it. But in my new endeavor, and, you know, one of the things that I'm challenged with is how do I solve my client's issue? And I have to make sure that I'm matching the strategy to their situation. It also is reflective of not going in thinking you know the answer to the problem. Even with just looking at a few data points, you might have an idea, but really listening for what that situation is that we're solving for and making sure that the strategy matches up to it. So I'll give you an example of how this works. It's called the STARS model, and some of you may understand or have heard of this before, but it really stands for five common business situations. And I think it's a great tool to use as you're going into a new, you know, company or a new role to really think about what is the situation that you're solving for. Is it a startup, right? Is this a startup where you've got to start the business, the project, the product, assembling the capabilities, people, funding, technology, all that good stuff, all that excited confusion. And really the expectation is that you're going to get in there and channel that energy in the right direction. Is that your role? And is that the situation? Or is it a turnaround? That's a situation where, you know, the group's in trouble. The changes that, you know, are obvious that need to be made rapidly and decisively. And people can be, you know, fraught with despair. You know, they could be down, morale could be low, and they want you to plan and give them the confidence. That's what's called for. So again, that's the situation. What's your strategy going to be around that? The other one is accelerated growth, right? So is that what's called for? This means the business is growing fast. A lot of companies out there, multifamily, are in this mode right now, and you're supposed to put in processes to help it expand. That's the situation, including hiring more people, introducing more discipline and systems to work within. So those three, to start out with, they share a lot of the same characteristics. They require a ton of energy and intensive work. And so being able to identify, again, what is the situation before you? What are you focused in on accomplishing and being the solution for? And that really leads into, you know, two more in the STARS model, right? Realignment. If you're in the realignment phase, your task is to come in and revitalize a product, process, project, because the problems are already there. They're looming, and maybe not everybody sees them yet. So you're going to have to convince your people that they need to be open to change. And so that is what you are trying to solve for. And then lastly is sustaining a success situation, which is optional. This is the beauty of this. Here you're supposed to preserve the success that's already there. And the organization can't just rest on its laurels. You need to understand why it's become successful and let the business prosper. And besides, amongst all of that, you've got to keep people motivated. So when you look at this model, the STARS model, when you're approaching the work and trying to figure out which situation you're solving for, you're going to be in more alignment because you've done the homework and you understand exactly, what it is you're coming in to solve.
Yeah, and just for our listeners who didn't necessarily pick up on the STARS model, it's an acronym for what Suzanne mentioned, which S for startup, T, turnaround, A, accelerated growth, R, realignment, and then S again for sustaining success. And Jessica, what have you seen in your career? I'm sure you've touched on all these at different times with different companies.
Yeah, I have, Paul. It is a model that speaks true because I think every organization sits differently with where they're currently at when a new team member or a new leader or a consultant comes to the organization. Where I'm sitting today with my current organization was totally different where I was sitting 8 years ago with a different organization, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's like children, right? Every child, grows and learns differently. You have to cater that experience or your parenting to the child. And it's no different than I think the way that, we're aligning the strategy to the company. I will say, I know where I'm sitting right now with my current company in the STARS model. And, speaking firsthand, I'm in a turnaround situation, meaning I've got everything I currently need as far as people and process and all of that stuff. But we're trying to make sure, understandably, everyone's got the confidence and the tools to be successful in their role, right? So that's where me going to the sites and working with everybody to feel, confident and valued is a huge part of my strategy in the first 90 days.
Susanna, I want to ask you because obviously our conversation today, excuse me, is really kind of based on what someone who is changing roles having a new role, how they should prepare for that. What role does the company play in that? When a company has, and we've got about 2 minutes left before I want to transition to another topic, but what role does the company play, upper management, when they bring in a new person or have someone change roles? What should they do?
That's a great, great question. And if you were on the opposite side, right, you're not the person entering in the new role, you're actually the employer. Mm-hmm. Doing your homework and being able to speak to what the situation is that you've hired this person to solve and be able to speak that clearly, I think is integral. And oftentimes, that doesn't happen. It's not clear. The expectations are not clear. And that's where the misses happen. So if you're an employer, you want to make sure that you thought through what the situation is for this person coming in and what the expectation is, what problem are they solving for, and then really make sure that you're meeting with them along the way, that you're on the same page regularly so that you don't have those big misses for both yourself and of course, for the employee.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's...
I'll add to that, Suzanne, too. I think sometimes it's not even clear for the company. And I think that's probably, and I don't want to speak for you, I'm sure you probably go through that with your analysis and your assessments you do in your seat today, Suzanne. But in my experience, when I speak to a lot of employers, they don't actually know where they're sitting or what type of strategy they have. And I think a lot of it comes with a myth and not having, the subject matter experts or the key players who probably are in it every day and have a lot of feedback. And so this goes to a whole nother topic, right? And getting feedback from our people. But mm-hmm. I think it's making sure we're having those conversations internally with the right people. So we know the type of strategy needed. So when we bring in the next leader or the new person, it is clear, but I don't think that's actually happening. And I think there's some uncertainty on the employer end.
Yeah.
I often get the response of, well, I'm not really sure what's wrong. I don't know. And so we have to take a deeper dive, right? And really get to that. To your point, Jess, I think it's brilliant, because if you're already cultivating feedback in the organization, you're going to have a much better sense of what those things are, rather than, you know, not having that data from your people.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's important. And that's a whole nother episode we could do. So let's, I do want to transition though, because we've only got about 2 minutes left in this episode. And I wanted to ask each of you, and I'll start with you, Jessica, tell us a little bit about what you're doing now with the company. And also, if someone wants to reach out to you, how can they do that?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm currently the AVP of hospitality, and really that just means operations with City Club Apartments. We are in 6 different states, and we develop high-rise communities in urban areas. If to reach out, I'm on LinkedIn, so please connect with me on LinkedIn. I know earlier I mentioned that 30, 60, 90-day analysis, onboarding agenda. I'd be happy to share it if anyone's interested. So reach out, and you know, I'd love to connect.
That'd be perfect. And Suzanne, same thing.
Yes. So I'm again currently working in my own company as a consulting business, where we do expert fractional services for businesses in need. So we help with refining operations, enhancing your marketing and sales, financial performance, looking at that tech stack, memorializing process, and obviously working with leadership development with the purpose of elevating you, your business, and your team.
All right.
And you can find me on LinkedIn as well. So
yes.
That's where I'll be. And if you want to chit-chat about the STAR model or anything else, I'm available.
Perfect. And by the way, for our listeners, if you go to this episode page on our website at multifamilyradio.com, there will be the logos of their two companies. You can click on those logos. It'll take you directly to their websites. So ladies, thank you so much. Obviously you guys make a great team. We've had you on before to do this. Let's pick another topic in the future and have you back on again, because our listeners love it. But we will be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.